Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
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 Podbean. The AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
Thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
My school uses Podbean.
My church, too.
I love it. I really do.
In the shadows of myth and reality, monsters stir. From ancient legends to modern nightmares, we explore the creatures that haunt our stories and sometimes our lives. Welcome to Among Monsters podcast, where the line between man and monsters is thinner than you think.
The Midnight Butcher of Austin. The Servant Girl Annihilator. Welcome to Among Monsters. I am Damian Vale, your host. Tonight, we journey back to a burgeoning American city on the cusp of a new era, a place where gas lights flickered against the Texas night, and the promise of progress was quickly overshadowed by unspeakable horror. Our monster emerges from the shadows of the 1880s, a brutal and elusive killer who stalked the streets of Austin, Texas, earning a terrifying, if unceremonious, title, The Servant Girl Annihilator. This is a story of a community gripped by fear, a police force overwhelmed, and a series of murders that, to this day, remain shockingly unsolved, preceding even London's infamous Whitechapel murders by several years. The year was 1884, and Austin, Texas, was a city of roughly 17,000 souls, growing rapidly, but still clinging to the close-knit feel of a frontier town. The murders began on December 30th, 1884, with the brutal slaying of 25-year-old Molly Smith. She was found in her bed, having been struck with an axe and then dragged outside. Her condition immediately suggested a crime of extreme violence, but the sheer brutality and apparent lack of motive baffled investigators. The attack seemed personal, yet no clear assailant or reason emerged. Her fiancé, Walter Spencer, was initially suspected and arrested, but later released due to lack of evidence. The city was certainly unsettled, but few could have predicted the chilling pattern that was about to unfold. The horror escalated just a few months later, on May 6th, 1885, with the murder of Eliza Shelley, a 16-year-old domestic worker. She, too, was killed with an axe, her body discovered in her backyard. The similarities to Molly Smith's murder were too striking to ignore. Both were young, dark-skinned women. Molly Smith was mulatto, Eliza Shelley was black, and both were domestic servants. A terrifying realization began to dawn on Austin. This was no random act. A killer was targeting a specific demographic, striking with swift, silent ferocity under the cloak of night. The summer of 1885 brought a terrifying wave of violence that plunged Austin into a state of panic. On August 30th, Irene Phillips, 17, was brutally murdered, again with an axe near her family home. Her friend, Susan Hancock, 16, who was with her, was also attacked but survived, albeit with severe injuries that left her disfigured. This attack, occurring simultaneously, hinted at a killer of immense strength and ruthlessness. Then, on September 28th, 35-year-old Mary Ramey and her daughter, Christine, 11, were found murdered in their bed, also victims of an axe. The sheer audacity of these attacks, often occurring close to residences, suggested a killer who was both daring and incredibly fortunate in avoiding detection.
Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
Podbean, the AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Use Podbean to record your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to optimize your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to turn your blog into a podcast.
Use Podbean to distribute your podcast everywhere.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
The murders continued relentlessly. On October 26th, 30-year-old Gracie Brown was found dead in her bed, strangled and mutilated, a method differing from the previous axe attacks. This variation raised questions about whether there was one killer or multiple. However, the geographic proximity and continued targeting of domestic servants kept the cases linked in the public and police minds. The final known victim was Eula Phillips, 17, murdered on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1885. She was found in her bed, killed with a knife, and like Gracie Brown, showed signs of mutilation. Her husband, who was also attacked and gravely injured, initially survived but later died from his wounds, becoming the only male fatality directly linked to the series. The modus operandi of the killer, or killers, was chillingly consistent for most victims. Attacks occurred at night, often in or near the victims' homes, typically between midnight and 2 a.m. The victims were primarily domestic servants, often black women, but later included white women. The murder weapons varied, axes, knives, or strangulation, but the brutality was unwavering. The attacker frequently dragged bodies outside, and in some cases, there were signs of sexual assault and mutilation. This level of violence and targeting of specific groups earned the unknown assailant the gruesome moniker, the Servant Girl Annihilator, a term coined by contemporary newspapers. The terror in Austin was absolute. Citizens feared leaving their homes after dark. Street lights, a novelty at the time, were installed with urgency. Vigilante groups formed, patrolling the streets armed with shotguns. Women slept with axes, pistols, and knives under their beds. Businesses suffered as people stayed home. The Austin Police Department, a small force, was completely overwhelmed. They pursued countless leads, interviewed hundreds of people, and made numerous arrests, but each suspect was eventually released due to insufficient evidence. The lack of advanced forensic techniques, like fingerprinting or DNA analysis, severely hampered their efforts. They relied on witness testimony, often unreliable in the dark, and circumstantial evidence. The monster in this narrative is shrouded in an impenetrable veil of anonymity. The composite descriptions from the few survivors were vague and often contradictory, describing a large, dark-skinned man or a shadowy figure. The killer operated with a spectral efficiency, leaving little to no trace. The terror of the Servant Girl Annihilator is not just in the heinousness of the crimes, but in the psychological impact of an unseen, unstoppable force preying on the most vulnerable members of society. It was a monster born of a rapidly changing city, where social stratification might have contributed to a sense of impunity for crimes against marginalized communities. One of the most persistent theories, and one that resonates deeply with the chilling nature of the case, is that the killer was an outsider, someone who moved through Austin without deep roots, leaving no lasting ties to be investigated. Another theory suggests racial motivation, given the disproportionate targeting of black domestic workers, though later victims were white. The possibility of multiple killers has also been debated due to variations in methods of killing and whether the signature of violence always matched. However, the distinct pattern of targeting and timing suggests a single, highly motivated individual. The crimes of the Servant Girl Annihilator eventually ceased as abruptly as they began. The last known murder was in December 1885. The prevailing theory, though unconfirmed, is that the killer left Austin, perhaps moving to another city or dying. Some historians and criminologists have even speculated a possible connection to Jack the Ripper, who began his reign of terror in London's Whitechapel district just 3 years later in 1888. While geographically distant, the similarities in victim profiles, vulnerable women, the brutality of the attacks, and the uncanny ability to evade capture have led some to wonder if the Austin killer refined his methods and continued his gruesome work across the Atlantic. This theory, while intriguing, remains purely speculative, adding another layer to the enigma. The legacy of the servant girl annihilator is profound. It's a foundational American serial killer case, predating many others in the public consciousness. It exposed the deep-seated fears of a society grappling with rapid urbanization and the darker side of human nature. For Austin, it was a baptism by fire, a traumatic period that left an indelible mark on its history. The fear of an unknown killer who vanished into the night continued to haunt the collective imagination, a chilling reminder that sometimes the most terrifying monsters are those who walk among us, indistinguishable until they strike. The cases of the servant girl annihilator remain officially unsolved. No one was ever conclusively identified or charged. The victims, Molly Smith, Eliza Shelley, Irene Phillips, Mary Ramey, Christine Ramey, Gracie Brown, and Eula Phillips, alongside injured survivors and the later deceased husband, represent a forgotten chapter of terror, a series of brutal acts committed by a ghost. Their stories are a poignant testament to the power of a single individual to shatter the peace of an entire community, and to the enduring horror of a mystery that time, the limitations of 19th century policing, could never fully unravel.
Thank you for listening to Among Monsters podcast. Find more episodes of Among Monsters podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, or anywhere premium podcasts exist. Email us at amongmonsterspodcast@gmail.com.